The opinions and recommendations in this podcast are those of the participants and not necessarily of ausleisure.com.au. This podcast covers the subject of alcohol consumption and as such is aimed at adults, although it does not contain any subject matter that would be offensive to children. ausleisure.com.au and all participants remind our listeners that alcohol should always be consumed responsibly.
It's a fine time to have a drink. Maybe with some mates for a date sounds good now, don't you think? Forget the world, don't worry about money. Let's be pleasure seekers, honey. And let's check the grapevine for advice. Oh, yes, indeed. A frosty beverage might be what you really need. Will it be red or white? Which way to go? It all looks good tonight. Let's check the grapevine for advice.
Well, welcome back to the Oz Leisure Grapevine. I'm here again with Greg from Doc's Liquor. Hello, Greg.
Hi, Richard. Thank you for coming along once again.
It's my pleasure. It is a pleasure coming along talking about wine. There's no doubt about it.
Favourite subject apart from drinking it.
Well, they go hand in hand, really, don't they? So what have you got for us today, mate?
Today I thought we'd do something a little bit different and step outside the square again. Instead of just talking gas-bagging about wine, I thought of seeing how the wonderful Oz Leisure website is dedicated to tourism events in Australia, then what better to talk about somewhere close that we live, which is the Yarra Valley and all that it has to offer. Having lived and worked in the Yarra Valley for the last 10 years, I sometimes take it a little bit for granted, but we really are on the doorstep of a truly recognised wine region, which is the equal of any other in Australia. So nowadays we talk about the icon areas such as Margaret River in WA, Barossa in South Australia, McLaren Vale, South Australia, Hunter Valley in New South Wales. And when we talk about Victoria, the first wine region that often gets mentioned is Yarra Valley. And it's a great region that has really developed over a period of time and become an area nowadays that's vital to our tourism industry has really developed. The Yarra Valley as a wine region dates back into the 1800s and where the likes of the Costello brothers had Yearing Station, which was quite a party house, I believe, in the early days. It used to be quite a destination to travel out there by coach and... there was quite a few wineries of the same ilk that used to hold big events and stay. People would go and stay. And one of the famous wineries out there now is St. Hubert's, which is actually Hubert Costello, who was the brother of Costello that started up Yearing Station. And
but you dropped the H. It's not Hubert's.
It's St. Hubert's now. Yeah. But Hubert Costello was the founder of the vineyard out there. So in the early days, there wasn't that many vineyards, but they were real tourist destinations. And we sort of don't think about it in the early days, but it was a long trip out there then to actually go to the Yarra Valley.
And they'd stay the night, would they?
Yeah, they'd stay the night, and that's where the party house reputation roared up.
So no worries about being the designated driver then.
No, that's right. Yeah, you could stay the night and really get stuck into it. The face of the Yarra Valley changed in the 50s and the 60s. Like a lot of the wine industries in Australia, we saw a lot of vine pool schemes in South Australia and other regions just simply because of economics. And the same thing happened in the Yarra Valley, and there was a reversion back to farming and rural subsistence rather than the wine industry. And so we saw a lot more development of rural properties which were used for the likes of cattle and sheep and things like that. And it wasn't really until the early 90s that we started to see the development kick off again in the valley with some of the wineries. And again, this is about the time that we lived up there. We were late 80s, early 90s. And I remember specifically driving down the road to work and looking across into a paddock and thinking, had horses and cows in there a couple of weeks ago, and now there's pine poles sticking out of the ground. And it just emerged that every month was the same. There was just more and more properties putting in vineyards. And so over the 10 years, I saw a lot of development, and I did a lot of work within the industry as well up there doing different wine events. And it was great. It was really good fun, and it's still continuing today. This is, you know.
What's the draw card? What brings them to plant a vineyard?
Well, I think you've got good conditions.
Yeah.
You've got the right soils, the right area. Temperatures are good, climates, all these things, and you've got proximity as well to Melbourne. So it's all strings together, and you know, if somebody thinks something's viable up there, and obviously it is because there's that many wineries up there now, it makes it a great area to get a vineyard going. And all seems to be working well up there at the moment. The Yarra Valley itself is divided into two main regions. So you've got Upper Yarra Valley and Lower Yarra Valley. Now, these are really dictated by the major highways that run through the area. So if you go into the Upper Yarra Valley, you're taking the Warburton Highway, and this runs from Lilydale through to Warburton and beyond. And if you turn to the left and you take the Maroondah Highway, this is the Lower Yarra Valley, and you can go right through into Healesville. And then if you want to go into the across the Black Spur, you can go right into Narbathon and Marysville, although there's not that much winery concentration up past the Black Spur. It's mainly back before Healesville.
What's the Black Spur for people that don't know what
I'll tell you about that in a second. It's one of the best roads in Melbourne, I think. So I was going to talk about that when we actually continue with it. I'll tell you a little bit more about it. One of the outstanding wineries that I found along the way, there's a number of large wineries up there, but one that really stands out that's prominent, which I think everyone should visit if you get a chance, and whether you're local or interstate or you're travelling from overseas and you're coming to see the valley, definitely drop in and see Chandon. It used to be called Domain Chandon. They've dropped the domain. It's now just Chandon. And this is a winery that's owned by Moët Hennessy, the famous champagne house in France.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is their Australian arm. They purchased the property back in 1986 and have developed it ever since. And it's a beautiful area.
Well, I must say, I was up there a couple of months ago and it was an experience.
I was just going to say, yeah, how did you find it?
Because it was just fabulous. I had an uncle of mine come out from the UK and managed to get him along there, and we had a lovely afternoon. Unfortunately, I was driving, so I couldn't really sample the wares. I had a taste of what they had on offer. The tastings were fabulous. I could have spent the whole afternoon there, but we needed to push on. But it was really, really lovely. And we'll have some pictures that can go along with this podcast, so you can get an idea of what it looks like, because it's a stunning place, which you could probably tell us a little bit more about, that the history of it.
Yeah, sure. It is. It's one of the most picturesque wineries along the whole Lower Valley route. It's just stunning. And Chandon was purchased as a property in 1986 by Moët Hennessy, the famous champagne house in France.
You know how much they paid for it?
No. I looked at some of the checkbook, though. It has a long history in there, because the Greenpoint homestead was built in the 1880s, and the name Greenpoint originates from the early settlers in the 1850s who observed that each summer, as the summer advanced and all the grasses around the area turned straw-coloured, this one tract of land from Yeringberg Station down to the Yarra River would stay completely green. And this was the Greenpoint property. So this was due to the deep alluvial soils that surround the property, which is, they held better moisture retention, and this is also a great asset to wine growing and production of vineyards. So Chandon obviously did their homework when they purchased the place and thought this is the ideal spot, and And when you go up there and you see how green it is, it's just magnificent all year round. So
it's beautiful.
Lovely area. The homestead today, since they've rebuilt it, it's a bit of a marriage of modern and traditional architecture with all the traditional features of Method Champenois production, which we'll talk about a little bit further down the track as well. And so you've got all the tasting rooms and the bottling rooms and the underground cellars, and really worth having a bit of a tour and dropping in. A few things that we like to do, this is just a personal note, I thought if you're up that way in the valley and you want to visit a few places, I thought I'd make a few different recommendations that you might normally get. Once you leave Chandon, so if you go up early in the morning and try some of their magnificent bubbles or their flat wines, or still wines, I should say, once you leave, if you head back up into Healesville itself, stop in Healesville, have a look around in the shops. There's fantastic shops up there. One of the big centres now that has actually been built up there is Giant Steps, who was Phil Sexton, who was the originator of Devil's Lair wines in Western Australia. This man's bought a property in the Yarra Valley, which is Giant Steps Winery, makes some fantastic wines up there. Very smart cookie. Also makes, was the originator of Coffex Coffee, Matilda Bay Beer.
Quite he's the entrepreneur.
Yeah, he is. He's a master brewer as well, and he had a finger in every pie. And he's only just opened this visitor centre recently, but well worth having a look because they really focus on all assets of food, wine, and beer production, and really worth having a look at. If you get the time, drop in and see my good friend Ian at Cheese Freaks and Book Nuts. Go and get some local bread. Ask him for some Tarago River Blue or Yarra Valley Persian Goat's Feather.
Yeah.
And, you'll have something if you want a mid-morning snack or you want to take something with you. Be warned, though, his cheeses, once you try them, everything else you buy in the supermarket looks like cardboard after that. They're just fantastic. If you leave Healesville and continue on a bit further, if you you haven't seen the Healesville Century, drop in and have a look. And if not, go up into the Black Spur, which I was Mike was asking about. The Black Spur is really the Great Ocean Road of the mountains. It's just magnificent. There's 70, 80, 90 metre tall gum trees in there with ancient rainforest ferns just hanging over the side. It's a great drive. It's not as long as the ocean road, but it is magnificent just to drive through.
That's windy?
It's windy, yes, very hilly and windy. So you're going up and up over two mountains. And one of the things we like to do is we love to go about three quarters of the way through. We stop at a little place on the left-hand side called St. Ronan's Well. Take some empty plastic bottles with you, fill up. It's a fresh water spring. I was talking to one of the locals and he told us it just flows year-round. The water is just really clean, clear, crisp, costs nothing, and you know, you can bring it back with you. It's just pure mountain water. Then if you do a Yui and then go back down, you can stop at some of the reserves on the way, like Fernshaw Reserve, and have a picnic with your cheese or whatever. Or drop back down into Healesville itself, and there's a couple of fantastic places to eat in there. Go and see our good family friend Des Harrington, who owns the Grand Hotel, which is the first one coming back down. They do a fantastic lunch, and also they have bands on Sunday afternoon, jazz bands, and yeah, great afternoon atmosphere. You can sit out on the veranda and have a bit of a feed and listen to some music. Yeah, it's a really good afternoon. Once you've done all that, then basically you've got three choices. Now, you can either continue straight down the Maroondah Highway and head back into Melbourne, and you can stop at two or three of the major wineries along the left-hand side on this, on your homeward bound journey. So you've got wineries like Rochford, Oak Ridge, a little winery called Badger's Brook. Yeah, pop in and have a look at these guys because they're all great little wineries there. Rochford in particular has a magnificent cellar door. Some lovely areas up there. You can either go left if you want to go into the Upper Yarra Valley, so you cut across to the Warburton Highway, and you can go and visit Yarraburn or Lilydale Estates, which are two of the major wineries along that road, and both producing some great wines. The other alternative is to veer right and go on the Healesville Yarra Glen Road, and which will eventually bring you back into Maroondah Highway, and go and visit wineries such as Tarrawarra. Go in and see Styx if you can, which is Punt Road, I should say, which also incorporates Styx wines, which is Rob Dolan, who's Styx is his nickname. He used to play footy for Port Adelaide. He's about 6 foot four, and the Punt Road connection also is from originally in Melbourne. Punt Road was a winery along where the bridge is, and there was no bridge there, and you had to take the punt to get across the Yarra River, and they go from winery to winery. So this is back in the 1850s, so that's where the name springs from. So
I need to be a time traveller.
And actually, if you look at the labels on the bottle, they show the Yarra River with the punt going across it. So, it's got a bit of history and connection there. And last of all, if you stay on that same road, travel up the Melba Highway, which is named after Dame Nellie Melba, and drop in and see Yering Station, because, again, one of the truly magnificent wineries in the region. Spent about $20 zillion on it, but it is just fantastic. And drop in and get some ice cream up there, because your ice cream's fantastic.
Cheese, ice cream.
Yeah, it really is. It's a great day out, like not just for wine, because you can get, you can see all the different vineyards and the wineries, but there's so much food and production up there in the Yarra Valley. That's why it's become such a great industry, that it's an all-round industry.
And very scenic as well.
Yeah, and you've got all this, the fantastic scenery, especially if you get up into the Black Spur and come back down again. Mm. And all this that we've been talking about, it's an hour from Melbourne. So you can easily do it in a whole day and visit, heaps of different places, or, you can even set out over a few different weekends or a month, or, as I said, we tend to get a little bit blasé because we live so close to the valley, especially myself. I live in the eastern suburbs, so I'm 30 minutes from the valley, and we might go up 2 or 3 times a year, but it's still a great day out. I'm a fantastic
And all year round as well, you can do this.
Yeah, all year round, yeah. There's always something on, so it's quite an enjoyable day's out. So if you're visiting from overseas or local and want a good day's out, there you go. Plan a day and jump on the Oz Leisure website and have a look, and we'll go from there.
That's brilliant. You're a wealth of information, Greg.
That's what I spend all my time drinking for, I tell everyone.
Greg, have you got the normal list for us today?
Well, I've sort of thrown the normal list out the window again, Richard. I thought, because we were talking about Chandon, I thought we'd feature some of the wines from Chandon Winery. And predominantly what Chandon produce are sparkling wines. We're not allowed to call them champagne in Australia, and we'll go into this a bit further down the track, because they're when we talk about actual winemaking, but all the generic terms were taken out of Australia in the 1990s, like the French generic terms such as Burgundy and Claret and things like that. Yeah. And one of the terms was champagne. Now, champagne can only be called champagne if it's produced in the region of Champagne in France, and all other wines produced outside that region are to be called sparkling wines. So even if they're made in France and they're outside of the three main areas, then everything is sparkling wine. So what we get in Australia now is sparkling, and this is what Chandon does very well. They tend to be only one of the producer that creates a whole base of different wines, whereas a lot of Australian producers tend to produce just one sparkling style. The three main grapes that are used in sparkling wine are Pinot Noir, Pinot Meunier, and Chardonnay. And this is what's called Méthode Traditionnelle, which is the traditional way that they make champagne. And the difference with Chandon is they actually produce a whole variance of wines from these different grapes. So I thought I'd talk about some of their wines today. Yeah. They also do a table range as well called Greenpoint. And we might look at these sort of further into some of our podcasts because we can't fit all the wines in because they make so many. But they do a very good sparkling from Greenpoint, and I'll talk about this at the end. So the first style that they make is called non-vintage. Now, non-vintage is made from a cuvee or a blend of grapes from non-specific years. So that's where it gets the term non-vintage.
Right.
They can be quite good quality because the oenologist, when he starts to put the wines together, because all these sparkling wines are blended from base grapes.
They're sorry, not, can you back up there? A what?
An oenologist. Yeah, which is a winemaker.
Okay.
what he does is you're not getting a wine like a sparkling non-vintage Chandon. It's not just one grape.
Mm.
It's actually blended from different vintages and different styles, as I said.
Yeah.
So you can pick the best of and pour them all together, and that's where you come up with your base product. So the base product, the NV, or the non-vintage, around about $20-$22 in most shops. Great little product, drinks really well, and has some lovely sort of toasty, yeasty characters about it.
Has it got a shelf life?
Most sparklings, yeah, will carry a shelf life of a few years without any problem. You can always put your bubbles away and, you know, it'd help. But something like vintages tend to sit a little bit better. But again, you know, most champagnes or sparklings are consumed fairly young anyway. So unless you've got something from the early 1900s or something, you know, in Champagne, that's real quality that will sit for a long time. The next style of sparkling is called vintage, and the difference between this is from one specific year. So same thing, can be blended from different grapes and different batches, but must be from that one time frame. So say you've got a 95 vintage or 96 vintage or 97 vintage. And again, the qualities tend to be much the same, but you can get a little bit more intensity within the wine because of being that specific year. And if the winemaker's done his job properly, you will get a really good quality drink. Now, the two wines that Chandon do really well, which are different, that you don't see on the market very much, Blanc de Blancs and Blanc d'Oise. Now, Blanc de Blanc is 100% Chardonnay. So it's just taken from that one grape style. Tends to be a little bit more lively, fruit-driven. I like it because it gives a little bit more dryness on the end of the palate.
Yeah.
I find it's a cleaner drink than the NVs and the vintages. It's one of my favourite styles. And the other one is the Blanc d'Oise, which is 100% Pinot Noir. Now, the interesting variation on this is Pinot Noir is a black grape, and yet it comes out white in style like most classic sparklings. And how they achieve this is that they don't press the grape skin when they get the juice, the free-run juice out. So all they do is they get the, when they do the pressing, there's no contact with the grape skin, and this just allows a clear free-run juice, which is a white colour, even though you've got a black grape. And this is Blanc d'Oise. So a little bit more fruit-driven in style, a little bit more complex, and this is where all these components come in together, why they choose these three grapes, because they all these components add to the flavours of the sparkling wine. Next one they make, which is Cuvée Riche. And Cuvée Riche is a higher sugar, higher residual sugar. So you get a sweeter style altogether than the other previous ones that we've been talking about. It's got a little bit more fizz and a little bit more mouth filling, but it's also, as I said, a little bit sweeter in style. So especially one that the ladies love, you know, popping the strawberries in there and things like that. It's not cheap though. It's about the $30 mark, you know, upwards.
Yeah.
The Blanc de Blancs and the Blanc de Oise are again about the high 20 marks, and the vintage is in the high 20s as well. Then Chandon do a wine called ZD. Now, ZD is an interesting wine. It actually comes without a cork in it. It comes with a crown seal on top. So the same as what you get on a beer bottle, basically.
Oh.
And this is all to do within the wine's production, because when you make a sparkling wine or a champagne, the very last thing you do is you add dosage or expedition liqueur. And what they do is they turn the bottle upside down into a rack, and they freeze, all the lees go down into the plug. Now, lees, you can ask me, Richard, lees are the dead yeast cells. And the yeast cells go down into the neck, and then they freeze it in a brine solution, and then they turn the bottle up, pop the crown seal, and this spurts out. And then they add what they call a dosage or expedition liqueur, which adds a little bit of sweetness and also just adds a little bit of that fermentation process as well. And then they stick in the traditional cork with the muzzlet and seal it all up. Well, what they do with the ZD is zero dosage, so they don't put any dosage in there. They just leave the crown seal. And what you get is a bone dry drink at the end of the day. So it's much drier than any of the other sparklings. Okay. And if you like that really, really dry style, then this is the wine for you. And lastly, they also do a sparkling red, which is, this is also made from Pinot Noir and Shiraz, so using two classic grapes, and it is red. It's a dark wine. If you haven't tried sparkling reds, get onto them. They're fantastic. I love them, especially with things like Indian and really, really good wine.
Did they have to be chilled, sparkling reds?
Yeah, chill them down. Yeah. It's a, just like any champagne or sparkling, but you get a lot more richness in flavour. And if you like, sparkling Shiraz, if you've never tried it, I really highly recommend it. And the last one I thought I'd talk about is from the Greenpoint range itself, and it's the only sparkling that they make in the range. I presume it's still available. I know we've got some at Docks, which is the 95 vintage. Not cheap. It's about $50. Wow. But it is magnificent. It's one of the better sparklings in Australia for around that money.
Yeah.
And I think it's on par with any of the Tasmanian sparklings, which I consider the best in Australia. And if you can search some out. I know that the vintage has sold out, but there's some shops still do hold some 95. Very complex and, almost getting into champagne territory, which is a big comment because yes. I think there's some great champagnes around. So, that's the entire range that they make. And if you've never tried some of these wines like the Blanc de Blancs or the Blanc d'Oise or Sparkling Reds, give them a try and see what you think yourself.
Thank you very much, Greg.
Our pleasure.
Once again, you've come so good. It's a pleasure to listen to you. Thanks again. And that's Greg from Doc's Liquor. This is Richard saying goodbye. And thanks for listening.
Thank you, Richard. And hope to catch everyone next time. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Well, that's it for this episode. Thanks go to Greg and everyone at Doc's Liquor. If you would like to contact Doc's directly, they have stores in Bulwer North and Ringwood North, both in Victoria. You can call them on 03-9859-1111 or 03-9879-9200. And please be sure to tell them that Greg sent you. Docs also have a blog with all of the latest news and information. You can find that at docsliquor.bigblog.com.au. Oslo's a Grapevine is published every month, so if you like this podcast, please be sure to subscribe to the feed through iTunes and others. Full details on how to do that, as well as the topics covered in this episode, contact details, past episodes, and notes on future episodes can be found at www.ausleisure.com.au/grapevine. If you have any comments on the show or suggestions for future shows, then please send us an email to grapevine@ausleisure.com.au. We want to produce the content that you want to hear. Thanks for listening. This is Richard Maguire for ausleisure.com.au, your guide to Australian holiday and leisure activities. Until next time, see you later. It's a fine time, have a drink.
maybe with some mates. For a date sounds good now, don't you think? Forget the world, don't worry about money. Let's be pleasure seekers, honey, and let's check the grapevine for advice. Oh yes, indeed, a frosty beverage might be what you really need. Will it be red or white? Which way to go? It all looks good tonight. Let's check the grapevine for advice.